This is CliffCentral.com.
What's up? Hello, hello. How you doing? It's your man, G-Man, the ad man. It's another beautiful Wednesday. It's 11 a.m. But I'm hoping that you also kind of, you know, it's not necessarily going to be 11 a.m. when you listen to it because you're going to also get the podcast. Anyhow, we have a great show today. We always do have a great show, but I mean, today's particularly special because, you know, I've been threatening you guys that we're going to be having all types of exclusives and all types of firsts out here. And today I have a very, very, very amazing guest with me. If you've been following on Twitter, if you've been following on Facebook, I've been running my mouth about it pretty much since yesterday. And I've been running my mouth about the fact that my guest has done amazing things. And she's just done another feather to the proverbial cap with the amazing stuff that she's just achieved recently. But I'm not gonna waste too much time because, you know, as is with people like this, they are busy all the time. There's stuff that she needs to get to. So let's jump straight into it. And then after that, you know, we're going to talk about some other advertising things. We're going to talk about, you know, some account moves that have happened recently. We're going to talk about, you know, we're going to do some stuff, talk about some stuff from the Lurie's once again. And we're going to talk about one of my favorite things right now, babes. What do more? So it's going to be amazing. It's going to be a really, really cool show. But yeah, I mean, if you've ever encountered this lady, you know about the amazing sense of grace that you always get when you're around her. And you also, if you've been in advertising for over 5 minutes, you know about all the work that she's done on iconic brands, ranging all the way from like Nando's to, I don't want to start naming them because I'll forget some, and then, you know, and then it's a big palaver, as they say. But I'd like to welcome to the studio for the first time. It's the first time she's come to Cliff Central. Actually, I just asked her for the first time. I'd like to introduce you to Miss Suhana Godan.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, and thank you for playing voice to men. To open this
show. I knew. I heard somewhere that's your kind of thing.
Yeah, I get ripped off for it in most circles. But,
yeah.
But yeah, I feel safe.
Are you well though?
I'm very good.
It must have been. Tell us about, you know, new Lurie chairperson. See, I even get it twisted. New Lurie chairperson. How's it been?
Sure, it's been overwhelming. I think I did know about it. I mean, people ask me, did you just find out on the night? No, I had to prepare a speech and all of that. So yeah. I did have to know about it beforehand, but I had to give it some thought about whether it was right to do.
So how did you find out? Is there like a whole meeting where someone comes in with an envelope? You know, is it like when they choose the Pope?
And they go, and the chairperson is. Well, there's a committee, a Lurie's committee and a Lurie's board, and they decide, they make nominations, and then Andrew Human, who's the CEO, approached me and said, look, there's this, you've been nominated, do you want to do it? So I had to think about it and consult my people.
your people? Is that like going to your sangoma?
Yeah. Sangoma, family, friends, relatives, countrymen, everybody. But the reason I wanted to think about it is because I didn't want it to just be like a spokesperson role or a face thing.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to add meaning to that role. So I had to think about how I would do that. So, yeah. And then once I said yes, then that's it.
That is so cool.
Yeah,
that's amazing. But how the first few, there's that book, The First 90 Days, you know, about you starting a new job. Does this apply here as well? How's it been? How have the first few hours or the first few days been?
But you know what? I think it started on Saturday night at the Lurie's when after the speech. I didn't expect people to react like that. I just thought, hey, I'll give a speech, I'll go away and hide.
Yeah.
No, that didn't happen. It was amazing. People came up to me and men, women, some people wanted to take selfies with me. This has not happened before. But the feedback from advertising people that I really respect and admire was amazing. Right. So it's quite a rewarding feeling. And then, as you say, the first 90 days, I'm like, what have I done? Yeah. I've been dreaming about it a lot.
Yeah.
But it's exciting. It's a big responsibility, but it's really exciting.
That's really, really cool. I mean, you say that, we were talking about this before the show, that, you know, there must be some big a support structure that comes with getting a role like this. How's that been? Do you feel like, you know, the transition has been easy? Are you still in the transition phase? You know, how's that been?
I am still in the transition phase. I suppose Neo's tenure ended.
Shout out Neo Mashego.
Thank you. And Neo actually nominated me onto the Luri's committee.
Oh, fantastic!
So shout out to him. So I've had an amazing support structure, from family and friends to the wise people at FCB where I still work. I just want to make that clear. I still have a day job.
Shout out FCB Africa.
Yes. And also the people on the committee and the board that I serve with have all promised to support me, and
that's great.
I'm going to lean on all of them.
That's fantastic. I mean, you mentioned now that, you know, men, women came to, do you feel like it carries that much more because you're a female? Do you think that it has a slightly different or slightly more nuanced importance because you're female and that you're a woman of color?
I think it becomes, you know, very relevant right now. We're right in the middle of this time. Where things are starting to change, and it should have come a long time ago in terms of change in the industry. So I think people are responding really well to that. And also because a lot of what I want to stand for, what I want to progress, is stuff that hasn't been spoken about. Right, it's kind of just...
Like what? Tell us.
Just speaking about women empowerment and about inspiring young women to enter this industry and stay in it. And also to get rid of the discrimination that sort of still exists in some ways.
Yeah.
Definitely not in how it existed back in the day, which was really bad. And
I mean, we've all seen Mad Men.
Yeah. I lived in it for a little bit. But I think it's about all those subtle things that we don't speak about.
Yeah.
The discrimination that takes place on a very, you know, underlying, between the sentences level. So it's about exposing those things about... Ultimately, my role is about the Luri's, and which is to shine a light on creativity and excellent creativity in the country. And we can't be doing that if it's just left to a minority of men. And there's a lot of young women coming up in this industry that I get really excited about, and you know, I want them to stay. And
without
I have this big fear. I keep saying, "Will you please stay? Yeah. Don't leave. You're really awesome."
And that's a real fear, you know. I mean, I think we speak about it a lot on the show as well. Like, you know, there's this. It seems like we're always like on this precipice of like an exodus.
Yes.
You know, like it feels like there are so many people who are feeling like, "Damn it! If this shit doesn't change, I'm done."
Yeah.
And it's really, really important, I think, you know, for us to make those changes in order for people to realize that, you know, one, we do take ourselves a little more seriously than what they think we do.
Yes.
And that we take the changes that much more seriously. So you mentioned something now about, you know, having lived the Mad Men era, right? am I allowed to ask what you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, I think
like, give us examples. Give us examples that make us go,
you know what?
I'm so glad I didn't live in that
time. Those who've heard the examples, now I'm going to start sounding like a stuck record. But it really is still shocking to me. Like, even though I work in advertising, things still shock me. So, I mean, I was fresh out of advertising school, and I started at this agency, and wide-eyed and bright and starry-eyed and innocent. And I had a really hard time. I had some horrible, cruel men who did the worst things. Like who'd say things to me like, "Why are you working on car advertising? You should be sticking to tampon advertising."
And
I would think they were joking, but they weren't. They would literally, when I walked into review, they'd say, please go away. Also, really blatant crass things.
What year was this one?
2001. I'm not that old.
Yeah.
And things like, you know, they would do this thing where they'd put the air conditioner on when I walk into a room for a review. And at first, I didn't catch on to it. And then I was smarter than them, and I'd wear jerseys to my review in the middle of summer. Because they wanted to see a nipple stand, you know?
Wow.
Or things like, you know...
I sincerely hope these people are listening right now. Yeah, I really hope they're listening.
I actually really do. And the my first creative director on my early days there, or his first day of being my CD, called me into his office, closed the door, and told me about his sexual escapades. And then told me I should be taking some E.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So lucky I didn't listen to him.
You know, it still shocks me. Yeah. But I think, you know, I'm very, very, very happy and very excited that we've moved on from... I hope we've all moved on from stuff like that.
I definitely think we've moved on.
I mean, I've never experienced anything
you've never
like that. But then again, you know, no one wants to see my...
No
one wants to see.
No.
Thanks. So I think that it's a really... And I really do hope that they're listening, because here's this person who's essentially kind of, you know, it feels like a whole bunch of rubbish was stacked up against them, and it kind of persisted, and here we are. And you know, funny you should say that, because before the show, I don't think I've had a response like that about a guest coming onto the show. I've had messages from people talking about, oh, I can't wait, I love that lady. Do you think that is, you know, I mean, I know it's not a popularity contest to get to where you are. I mean, but there are obviously some hard calls that you're going to have to make going mm-hmm. forward. Do you think you're ready to make hard calls that are not necessarily going to be popular with some of the people?
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen myself as popular. One day I even went to...
Sure,
I went to the bank one day and the guy at the teller looked at my photo and went, you weren't popular at school, were you? So, you know, but you haven't seen my ID photo, so anyway. But I think that was one of the reasons I deliberated on this role is because you can't take a role like this and remain popular to everybody or please everybody.
Fantastic.
And it's a growth thing that I think I needed.
Yeah.
And so I'm ready for it. I have this feeling that it's a right time.
I think that's really, really dope. That's dope. Well, congratulations once again. I don't think we've actually officially said it. So congratulations to Hannah Godan on being voted. It's for 2 years, right? For the next 2 years.
2 years.
And what exactly does the role entail? Like, what is it going to be? What are you going to be doing?
Well, that is exactly the same question I asked, because, you know, when you sit in the audience at the Lurie's, all you see of the chairperson is when they arrive on stage, hand out some awards, and
Jeshana,
then you go,
clapping, yes.
And they jump on stage and they sing great songs, both of which I couldn't do. Maybe I could jump, but, you know, can't sing songs. And then they host a really awesome party. But you don't see the behind the scenes work that they do.
Yeah.
And that happens, you know, when you attend the board meetings. It's about promoting the Lurie's, promoting excellence, and, you know, making sure that organization is always doing the best that it can do.
Right. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I think we are in for an exciting couple of years with everything that you just said right to me right now. So if you're out there, guys, give me a phone call. You know, speak to Suhana. Ask her some stuff. Ask her about all those assholes she was just talking about now. The number is 0861-555-189, or hit me up at cliffcentral.com or at Blaxem, at BLAXEM. And then I'll ask your questions. But yeah, give us a phone call, because she's not going to be here for very long. She has to go into important chairperson of the Lurie's things. because you're going to a meeting after this, aren't you?
I am going to meet.
And is that what your life has turned into now? Like, as if you didn't have enough meetings
it's
before.
It's not that bad. I mean, this one was in my diary from way before. But it is an industry, creative industry concern meeting. So it is important. But you know, when you invited me, I was like, oh, it took so long. I had to say yes. I couldn't say no. So now I'm here.
Okay. So I mean, I'm gonna sidestep a little bit from the Lurie's conversation, mm-hmm. as much as I really, really love it. To kind of, you know, just kind of sway into something that happened last week. FCB Africa, where you work, you guys won the Barclays account. What the hell? What was that like?
Sure, that was really an amazing feeling. It was, you know, of course, winning is a great feeling.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was quite a big pitch. Quite a few agencies were participating, and we gathered in our lifestyle area at the downstairs to have the announcement made to us. And it was such a big feeling.
Yeah.
It was ticker tape. It was really, really exciting. And I think it's always great to win a big piece of business.
Yeah.
There's a sense of relief from everybody that, you know, we're going to be okay.
Exactly.
Because this industry is so difficult. It's so fickle. It's, you know, it's hard to feel constant in it.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think the win was great, but it's not without understanding the context of what's happening around
us,
the company, the incumbent that lost the piece of business.
Yeah.
So there is a sensitivity towards that, which kind of, it's hard.
And it is hard, because I mean, I think if you've been in advertising or pretty much any industry, really, you realize that, you know, it pretty much reminds you how much they are. Just so many slices to said pie, you know, and sometimes those slices change hands, and those have such huge impact on other people's lives. So I mean, and as much as it was an amazing time for you guys, it must be really, really difficult on the other side. And to have been a part of things like that, have you been on the receiving end of the bad news of stuff
well,
like this?
When I started at my first agency, they announced retrenchments in month one.
And wow.
I was terrified. And then someone said to me, my dear, you don't earn enough to be retrenched. So
when poverty intervenes.
Yeah. So it's kind of relief in a way. But you can feel it's something you know, it affects the ethos of an agency, the vibe around. I mean, it's something that just, it's a mourning, really.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when I was at Cannes this year, and the guy who received the Lion of St. Mark Award, his name's Marcelo Serpa, he said, I never understood why we have to give away for free the one thing we have to sell.
True,
and that's the horrible nature about pitches. It's just that we will never get rid of them if our industry continues to operate in the same way. We just kind of held ransom to them. We have to do it.
But I mean, you also told me that this was an interesting kind of pitch in that it wasn't in the traditional sense of we're going to present the strategy, and you're going to present the work, and everyone says, because it was essentially kind of case studies or something like that, right?
Yes, and also kind of credentials, the operating system of the agency, resources, how you plan to make it work.
And do you think that's a better way of pitching, the way where we don't feel like we're wasting or giving away stuff? Because that work never ever sees the light of day.
Yeah.
There must be like some huge dustbin somewhere with some of the best work in the world.
Things we lost in pitches. Yeah. I do think it's a better way. I mean, ultimately, it would be great if we worked the way we worked in real life, where we got referrals, you know, like when you want a dentist. But it doesn't work like that in advertising. So I think that's a fair way, because you're showing what your worth is in terms of people, in terms of infrastructure, and how you plan to run the business.
And other real work that you've done, as opposed to hypothetical, you know, briefs that, you know what I mean, don't necessarily... Cool. I think that's insane. So this means, obviously, like, you know, you guys are going to staff up like a whole bunch, you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, and I think, you know, FCB is quite a big agency as it is. Do you not worry about that changing or affecting the culture, or do you think that's inevitable?
No, I think that it depends on the leadership. And one of the reasons I love FCB is because of our leadership.
Shout out FCB Africa.
Yeah. I think they set the tone. And that's why I liked it, because it was palpable from the time I got there. And they're not the type of people that hide in their offices. So I think that we're taking on a big piece of business, and there's ways and plans of making sure that we don't lose that culture. We're working really hard to continue to build our culture. We're not going to jeopardize that.
That's great. Yeah. That's fantastic. And I guess that's also how you attract you attract business, but kind of with the culture as well. Okay, well, that's fantastic. I'm still hanging out with Suhana Godan, y'all. The number is still 0861-555-189, or hit me up on Twitter at cliffcentral.com, or hit me up straight at BLAXEM. So, Suhana,
right? You don't have ad breaks.
No. Well, we normally have ad breaks, but now when somebody told us that, you know, they're going to be leaving at the time when we normally play an ad or play a song, you're going to be leaving us.
So you've done away with ads for me. I'm very happy.
Yeah, this is what happens when you're in charge of advertising in South Africa, Suhana. Everyone moves advertising around just for you.
Thank you. Aline Dardenberg's going to be happy.
Fantastic. But now, so there's another kind of burning question that we keep talking about here is kind of the I don't want to call it a gulf, because I think we are kind of closing it. The gap between the two agencies. Remember that ad? There are two Indias, but it feels there are two advertising industries in South Africa, which is the Cape Town part and the Joburg part. What role? And now I'm going back to your role at the Lurie's. What role do you think the Lurie's can play in kind of helping to bring one kind of unified identity? And kind of bridge that gap between what seems like an industry that exists in our European part of South Africa and what is the rest of South Africa.
Are you talking about the Cape Town?
Yes.
Joburg gap?
Thing. Yes.
You know, I must be honest. I don't really feel that. I feel.
Okay.
I mean, I certainly feel that there was a weird gap around South Africa. I don't really feel that. I mean, is there something you feel that you want to...
That's great. Yeah. I think that's a different perspective on it, because we've spoken about how it always feels like I'll say it exactly like the way it is. The representation that exists in kind of Cape Town agencies and whatever, they are all completely lily white.
Yeah.
You know, they are very white agencies. Whereas it feels like the strides have been made like up here in Joburg and also even in Durban.
Yeah.
You know, the strides are being made in order to kind of, you know, to colour the place.
Yeah, you know? I would definitely agree with you.
So do you think then that the Lurie's has a role to play in kind of changing that?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, the Lurie's has definitely a big role to play in transformation in general.
Yeah.
And it is an agenda of theirs. I mean, that's what we speak
of ours.
About. Of ours.
Yeah.
Oh, I have to get used to that. Sorry, Andrew. it is those things that we speak about in meetings. And I mean, as a city, I still find Cape Town not as integrated as right. Joburg. So,
it's bigger than just advertising is what you're saying.
Yeah, but I do think the Lurie's has a role to play. And you know, even from speaking about women, it's our role as well to make sure that we're attracting the right people, that we're growing people. So we're working with universities and those advertising
That's
schools.
Great.
Growing people, getting them in and keeping them in. And then making sure they charge up that ladder fast.
That is fantastic. But I mean, you've touched now on the South Africa Africa thing, you know, and are we have we made, because I know that there've been some initiatives, that have made sure that it feels like we're bridging that gap. Are the Lurie's going to be doing more to kind of bring South Africa closer to Africa and vice versa?
Yeah, I mean, you know what?
It's also strange that we even call it.
Why
do
we do that?
Strange.
You know, to be honest with you, I don't even understand the huge debacle that happened last year, because for me, we are Africa. We are part of Africa. And we've always, it has been Lurie's Africa and Middle East for a long time. It just so happened that one really well there. But it's absolutely important that we have that internal focus, and this is South African advertising, and then this is part of our continent, and this is the great work on that continent. I mean, all of our brands are extending their footprint anyway, so it makes sense that our focus is extended there. And yes, that continues to be something that the Lurie's will bring closer and hopefully kill the naysaying voices.
Oh man, that's amazing. So guys, once again, I mean, I think I've got about like 4 or 5 more minutes with Suana. Send us your questions to her. Give us a phone call on 0861-555-189 or on Twitter at cliffcentral.com, or hit me up straight on at Blaxem, at BLAXEM on Twitter. So like I said, you know, like people earlier, I was getting like all kinds of messages about, you know, I can't wait that you speak to Suhana later. And some of those messages are things like, so I'm a Tilly. That you worked with for a long time, has said a big love and respect for Suhana, which I think is only testament to the kind of work that you've done at Black River. Why is it, do you think, that you get this much love and adulation from people? Do you think that it's because only because of the work that you do? Do you think that is it new to you? Because
yes, it's new. No, I'm like, I don't know. I it's hard to, you know what, I think being thrust into the limelight like that kind of exposes how people feel about you. Like,
that's right.
I actually made him up. I was like, wow, people like me. Yay. you know, I don't know. You don't, I mean, I'm a Tilly. I'm so happy. Big shout out to I'm a Tilly.
Shout out Black River FC.
I mean, we always tell each other how we feel. We're good at that.
Right.
But people like I'm a Tilly are great leaders. They're so important for us in the industry because they really grow and nurture people with potential. And he's one of the reasons I'm now your chair auntie. He's that person.
Chair auntie. I love that.
Yep, grow
that's
me.
Fantastic. well, Suhana, thank you so much for coming to hang out, man. I think it's been it's going to be an amazing 2 years, like I've said. And I wish you all the luck. And I hope to actually have you here more often. Because now I also know who to direct hard questions when I feel like it's time for hard questions. You know?
As long as you keep playing Boys to Men tracks, I'll be back.
but thank you so much. And we wish you all the best.
Thank you.
And I personally wish that, you know, you can essentially grow more of the female advertising community to kind of understand its power and to stay, you know, to your point. I don't know, is there any last thing you want to say to some people?
No, I just want to say I'm happy to be here, and I'm really happy to be your chairperson, and looking forward to serving you, and I hope I do you proud.
Okay, cool, fantastic. So that's Suhana Godaniel. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to play your track. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some of those things that have been happening in the game. We're going to talk about babes at some point. I just think, once again, thanks once again for coming to hang out with us, Suhana. And we'll see you around.
How to start your great with Kellogg's and the Kelman 20.
Don't procrastinate. Do what you want to do and do it now.
Be as good as you can, but they can't actually ignore you.
Run your own race and stop comparing yourself to other people.
On your own pace, your own race, your own lane.
Love yourself enough to work on yourself and be honest with yourself.
The main thing is action every single day. Small attainable goals that will get you in the right direction.
Hashtag start your great.
CliffCentral.com.
It's your boy G-Man, the admin, and we're back. Thanks once again to Suhana Godan for hanging out with us today. Really, really inspiring story. Really, really inspiring woman. And I'm glad I could hang out with her today. In fact, I got a tweet here from Kanye M, and she says, "Hi, Blexem, that's me. I greet you in the name of our leadership, the People's Bay, Suhana Godan. What advice would she give to young women in Adland?" And I think she essentially she answered that in many ways. And I think a lot of people out there are inspired by her story and just, you know, she made a passionate, impassioned plea for the ladies in this industry to stick around and to be the change that we absolutely need. But I mean, I want to talk about something that I know is very close to the hearts of many out there. I mean, if you were at the chairman's party at the Lurie's on Friday, you would have seen how close to the hearts of many this particular topic is, and it's a topic of the brand Babes, the brand that is Babes Wotumo. I'm still not sure whether people have actually come to understand how big the brand has actually become. And it's amazing also because, I mean, I'm reading through people's messages from earlier in the day, and I'll go through that. But, you know, it's like she's essentially just taken over. It's like the brand has literally kind of taken its place in not just in music, but in pretty much all of South Africa. But it started there in Adland, and I'm always interested in hearing what people have said about Babes. But before that, let me give you the number. Let me give you my Twitter address as well. Talk to me about the brand Babes. What do you think is how do you think we've arrived at the brand that is Babes Wotumo? Because it feels like she's always kind of been, you know, in the periphery somewhere. And then all of a sudden that, like, her brand blew up. And I know that, you know, some of it is because of how much lip service and I'm guilty of it too. You know, a lot of us pay a lot of lip service to the Babes game. But I think give me a phone call. Tell me what you think it is that makes Babes, or that made Babes blow up the way she did. I mean, so the number is 0861-555-189, or hit me up on Twitter at cliffcentral.com, or you can hit me up straight at Blaxem, BlaxeM. So here are some of the things that have been written about the brand Babes. She's been called the leader of the free nation. You know, this is a brand, a payoff line, if I may call it that, that she's just inherited recently. She's been attributed with bringing the rand back from the brink. There was a time when the rand was not doing very well, and then as soon as the numbers started changing, you know, Babes' name came up as the leader of this nation, having brought that brand back. So here's what I want to know. It feels like there are two camps in this brand Babes phenomenon that we find ourselves in. So do you think it's all calculated? You know, do you think that, you know, the guys at Afrotainment, what have they done to make us fall in love with Babes so much? Somebody has even said, because, you know, there's a very big camp of people who are not very fond of the Babes thing, and they're saying maybe South African men are trying to get back as South African women for that whole Uncle Bay thing. You know, remember that Uncle Bay thing, that timer who was out there, making everyone attracted to old men again. I'm not sure why. But so somebody is saying, you guys, there's no substance to this girl. You guys are just trying to get us back. But I don't think we're that petty. If you've seen Babes on stage, like I saw her last week on stage, you'll know that we're not necessarily being that petty. But are we? You know, is there really merit to this Babes thing? And I want to know what you guys think. I know she's got a huge following amongst some people I know in advertising. Send me your tweets. Send me a text. Send me a message on Twitter and on Facebook, and let's chat about it. So. The other things that someone said is that, you know, is she the Nicki Minaj of Afrotainment? You know, so speaking, taking it back to the brand space, it's when you kind of think that, you know, you've got this to reference the Nicki Minaj thing. You kind of feel like the game has a certain version of representation, right? So hip hop at some point had a certain way that women represented, and there's a conflict between, you know, is it the rough rugged sound and whatever, and then Nicki Minaj came out and like the sexuality part of it was just like overt, and the game essentially took it seriously from a pop perspective and from a hip hop perspective, and did a whole lot for that game. So for that brand, Nicki Minaj did an amazing thing. is this what Babes Will Do More kind of is on the brink of doing for what became a slightly monotonous Afrotainment sound. You know, we all kind of figured we knew what the next track was going to sound like. We knew what Tira and those guys were going to do. Is that what Nicki Minaj wishes? Is that what Babes has done for kind of, you know, bringing Afrotainment music or that Durban sound closer to even people who are not necessarily into that Durban house, Durban quieter music. So hey, and I know you're out there and you feel some type of way about this brand, and I want to know purely from an advertising and branding perspective. Is it really one of those things where a brand has been created for us to just kind of take on and love, and we ran with it? Now, there is also another theory about the brand Babes, that it's a practical joke gone too far, you know. So somebody saw this. Here's this girl called Babes Wotum, wretched as fuck, as they say, and what happened is we started off as, wow, that girl is wretched too. Wait, maybe I actually like that girl. And now we've all gone so far in kind of creating this fake love for her that we've actually really fallen in love with the brand Babes Wotum. Because I mean, prior to this one song, and I think the performance last week or at the Lurie's is testament to this as well, she performed two other songs, right? And we were like, yeah, okay, I hear you. We were all waiting to just hear one song. And when that song came on, we all lost our proverbial shit, because we were just like, that's just amazing. And essentially we're transported to a fake fun that we might have actually just made up in our own minds. But now, I'm curious, because I'm not really sure. I'm not sure whether I'm in love with Babes and the brand Babes because it's real, or because it's just a figment of our imagination that we thought into life, and now we absolutely love it. So I want to hear from you. I want to hear what you have to say about this. Well, you know, it is, we are ushering out Women's Month, you know, and I want to hear what you have to say about this phenomenal woman. I'll take your comments about Babes, and then we'll kind of wrap up the advertising conversation about some of the stuff that happened last week, and where we think we're going forward. So remember, that number is 0861-555-189, or hit me up on Twitter at cliffcentral.com, or hit me up straight on at Blaxem, BLAXEM on Twitter. That's it. One.
This is cliffcentral.com.
And we're back. Yeah, so I think people have, you guys have come back and spoken to me about your, you know, your Babes affliction or affinity to Babes, and like I said, I mean, I've been reading through some of the stuff that has been posted earlier today, and I'm not even sure what the conversations that were being had earlier today were, but there's somebody here from much earlier today at 8:23 a.m. That I'm seeing here on our feed, who says that Wololo song is so bad. People like it because it's in support of whoring. Now, I think that's a bit extreme. Whoring? No. Wretchedness, maybe. And wretchedness kind of has different connotations to whoring. So I just think, Temba Liena, or Temba Yena. Yeah, I think you're being a bit too harsh. And not just necessarily on Babes, but I just think, you know, you just stepped very quickly to whoring. Anyway. So I've also gotten a few messages from you guys in between while we're playing the track. Kosi says, first of all, he said, thank you, Plexem. I hope you're releasing your inner Babes in studio. And I think we can safely assume that I was. My inner Babes was all over the studio. But then after that, you posted, I think Babes found SA on the brink of Tololo-ness and just injected some much-needed Wololo to the nation. Now, even that as a sentence never used to exist until about a couple of months ago, and that is exactly what I mean by what might sound like, you know, us just obsessing over you know, the fickle nature of hip hop or the fickle nature of South Africans. That is in itself speaks to how she became a part of pop culture that we'll never forget. I mean, I don't think we can promise anybody that she will become the next Brenda Fassie or the next Lebo Mathosa in any way. In fact, I don't think we should be putting that much pressure on this little girl. I do think that we can never denounce how much she is a part of SA pop culture. But I think that's enough. I think I've spoken enough about Babes, and for those of you who want to carry on the conversation, have the conversation with me once again, still on Twitter at BLAXEM, and then we'll continue to unravel the enigma that is Babes Wotumo. But up until for now, we're done with that. I just want to take a step back to a conversation that actually started when Suhana was still here, and talking about, you know, that time when you guys have, when you've won a new piece of business. And it was really cool to see some of those images, because you know the kind of work that goes into pitches, you know. So it was cool to see those images of celebration, you know, like you can see the people who put in hard work into pitches, those late nights, it's paid off, and they've got the piece of business. And that to clarify that, FCB Africa won the B2C part of the Barclays account, that's business to consumer, and then the B2B, if I'm not mistaken, went to Mortimer Harvey. So there were obviously, you know, great celebrations and great parties at on that part of town. But it's also, we also cannot ignore the fact that, you know, there is another slightly different conversation that's happening on another part of Bryanston, where the Jupiter Drawing Room has to have these hard conversations with people about the changing face of that agency. It's a thing that a lot of us have had to deal with. I remember when I was at FCB, when Vodacom left the building, and it literally is that, to the point that was being made by Suhana earlier, it literally feels like you had a funeral, you know, this thing that we've kind of allowed to become a part of your lives. People have invested a whole bunch of man hours into the account itself, and now it's leaving. So the agency is about to change shape, and the brand of the agency is about to change, and it has a lot of personal meaning to a whole bunch of people. And in fact, the leader of Jupiter Drawing Room, Mr. Graham Orsop, penned this letter to that was published in on marklives.com, that kind of speaks to you, essentially get the sense of how bad, not how bad, but how much it actually means for an agency to lose an account like this, and what it's actually going to mean for them going forward. So I'll just read you verbatim from the letter that has been posted on Mark Lives, and just the first paragraph of that, where he says, for 10 years Jupiter has been at lead agency status on the Absa account, which is now Barclays, but it did not have the digital portfolio, which is highly undesirable. Given where the world is moving, also at a time of the mandatory procurement or RFP, the client seemed attracted by the full suite of services potentially available through a global agency network. So seeking to maintain the status quo was not an option for Jupiter. So I think, I mean, you can read the rest of it, but I think that also starts to become very, very telling in that, you know, it's about agencies having to at some point realize that the offering that they've been giving to the client for all those years has somehow stopped being enough, because the client's needs have changed, and that's possibly the reason why they move. But then again, the reason why accounts move, the reasons are varied. We never actually, I believe we never actually know what the real reasons. And I mean, we know that there are the global alignment part of this has been a conversation in corridors and in the game for a while now, and then there's this digital conversation that might actually have contributed to this move happening as well. So it's interesting times, but it's times that we've always had in the game, and it's also something that has always been spoken about, in the sense that how are we going to make sure that we don't become so vulnerable to losing one account that it means that a place has to shatter and change. Maybe shatter is too dramatic, but a place has to change because of the fact that things one account has decided to leave the building. So I just think that, you know, while you're out there, whether you are a startup, whether you're sitting in a big agency, I think we need to take a long, hard look at the models that we've got in place. And that's just my personal opinion. Look at the models that we've got in place to make sure that how can we protect ourselves from this space? How can we make sure that we don't end up in a place where one account movement essentially changes your agency forever? And is it necessarily a bad thing as well? You know, is it necessarily a bad thing that the entire industry is changing, and that some people who have kind of stayed a certain way for a long time have had to make that change? But for me, what's really important, because this is something that's very close to my heart, is the sense of the startups and what the startups get to. What the startups have to think about going forward, and that is their sense of stability. So congratulations to the guys congratulations to the guys who won at FCB Africa, and the guys who've just won the account at Moti Mojave, and to the guys at Jupiter Drawing Room. Like I said, a few people would know, or a lot of people would know the space that you're in. But I would also, you know, a lot of the time this comes as an opportunity, some kind of like a catharsis of sorts, you know, where you have this opportunity to now kind of look inward again, and kind of go, what's my purpose? You know, what's my individual purpose? But at the same time, what's the agency's purpose? You know, do we have to go and change the way we do things? Are we going to stay exactly the same? But most importantly, just as happened with other agencies before this, we somehow find a way to make things okay. Agencies go through weird things, but somehow we always find a way to just kind of turn things around, whether it's with a new personality or with that same zeal and that same determination that got you to the place that you are at right now. So yeah, the hour's almost up. I ran my mouth a lot. I am very happy that we got to discuss the important issue of you know, the Lurie's having gotten a brand new female chairperson, of female chairperson of color, and that's exciting news. We touched on the amazing Babes Wotumo and the brand that is Babes Wotumo. I mean, I say the amazing, she might not be relevant a month from now, but that's exactly why I think it was a really, really important conversation to have. And then finally, checking in on the happenings of last week, and there's so many other things that happened in the past week. I mean, we've all received the emails about the big things that are happening around the country, appointments that have been happening, including the one that's happening in Cape Town. They've just gotten themselves a brand new deputy MD. So, you know, the intention is that we have these conversations, and that we assess where we are as an industry, why we think we want to go to, where we think we want to go to, and how we think we can arrive at that. But it's your boy. It's G-Man the Ad Man, and it's been another fantastic hour. It's been a colorful hour as well. There's been a lot of dancing in studio. Duncan was dancing on the other side as well. We got a little uncomfortable for some people, but it was great. And I would love for you to check out the podcast on CliffCentral.com. And you know, the weird thing is that, you know, with having podcasts is that it doesn't necessarily mean that this show, it's not gone now. It's not gone. It exists now at a place where you can actually tap into it whenever it is that you want. And also look back at some of the shows that we've had before. We've had some amazing guests in the past couple of weeks, and I implore you to go in there, check out some of those interviews, some inspirational people and inspiring people that we walk around this beautiful game of advertising with. So yeah, it's been another beautiful week, and I've had a great time once again in this great hour of running my mouth. But yeah, it's time for me to go now because other people are lined up to come in. But yeah, have a fantastic week in advertising. And as I say every single week, and I'm hoping the powers that be are listening, I would love for the show to be more than just an hour long, just so we can get more into this advertising thing. Also, just so we can spend time with the guests that don't have to go somewhere halfway through. Suhana, that's you. But at the same time, most importantly, if the show was on a Friday, we'd be having a tequila. Thank you. Boom.
This is CliffCentral.com.